Konnichiwa, this is Pipe Dummies, episode 17. Even though there is some confusion in the Pipe Dummy studio on what tobacco we were supposed to be smoking tonight, I want to just let everyone know that I clearly emailed both my co-hosts telling them what we're going to smoke. And what we're smoking tonight is a brand that I've come to kind of fall in love with, Seattle Pipe Club, smoking, I guess it's not their newest blend because they've had Pipe Place come out recently. I think it came out this month, but their second newest recent blend, which is called Potlatch, which is an English-style blend. It's pretty interesting, but we'll get into that in a second. First of all, let's talk to Captain Boone Farm. What was your fucking name again, Jared?
Not going to tell you. You can't remember. You
oh, Moonbeam. Motherfucking Moonbeam. Motherfucking Moonbeam. Moonbeam, what's happening?
Well, I have the air conditioning turned on. It's so damn hot right now.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
How hot was it in Corpus today?
I mean, if I went outside on the porch, it's fairly cool. It's kind of humid, so it stays cool out. But in my smoke room, I had to kick the AC on. Right now, we're getting upper 70s. We're getting close to 80 right now.
Damn.
Yeah, I mean, I've been wearing T-shirt and shorts when I get off work. And it's plenty comfortable. It's still almost warm.
I mean, it's that warm here. I mean, not quite that warm, but I mean, it's getting down in the 50s at night, but it was like 72 today. It wasn't too bad.
Yeah, we were 80 today.
Yeah. Interesting. Bull Shark, what's happening?
Nothing. Packing this pint with the wrong tobacco.
I know that. Apparently, nobody likes to read emails in this group.
I don't know if I should just call you out in the show or what.
No, you totally can. You can,
yeah,
Moonbeam.
Fuck him. Do it. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Moonbeam.
Okay, and I have it in photo evidence here, but I'll read it.
Please
from Logan Lawler. Since we haven't done EMP, I would suggest
early
morning pipe yet. You guys cool with doing it versus what we have scheduled? To me, that means, hey, do you want your early morning pipe instead of Potlatch?
There's more to that email than that.
Mm-mm.
Nope, there is
that
not.
That is it. It's one line, one sentence.
Well, hey, I think that email might be a little ambiguous, and you guys should have followed up with me, so I lay responsibility with you. Actually, no, it was my fault, because I remember thinking in my head, let's do it this week, but then when I saw what we had scheduled this week, I was like, you know, fuck it, I want to do this. And I was like, the Christmas tobaccos, since I'm a Grinch, I was like, I can't support that. I can't support Christmas tobaccos. I cannot. So anyways, so we're smoking Potlatch tonight. Let me tell you a little bit about it. And this is directly from tobaccoreviews.com. Potlatch is a traditional Northwestern Indian celebration of plenty. Scrumptious feasts and ritual celebrations that lasted for weeks. Gifts were shared with many old and new friends. Seattle Pipe Club Potlatch is just such a gift of pipe tobacco. Enjoy the, and this is what I think is kind of interesting, a lavish seven tobacco mixture, Black Cavendish, Burley, Cyprian Latakia, Virginias, Turkish Orientals, Arcadian Perique. So that's a seven? Yeah, it's seven. And it's classified as an English blend. So I'm not really sure exactly how that happened. Because Englishes are traditionally Virginias with a little bit of Orientals and a lot of Latakia, or Latika. But this has got Burley, and this has got Perique, and this has got Black Cavendish. So how the fuck is this classified as an English? Do they just not know how to classify it?
No, they could be in English. As long as it's got Virginia Latakia, it's fine.
Really?
Yeah.
Pretty open-ended on it then.
Who says this?
We went over this in another show. Remember, I looked it up and we did this.
I thought you had Cavendish makes it a Scottish blend. Like my
no, I think it's with the Scottish blend. It's if I remember right, it's a percentage of Latakia that's in it. Like a Scottish blend has less Latakia than an English blend with added Cavendish.
But then, how do you reconcile this having Burley and Perique in it?
I don't know. All I can imagine it's an English blend with just Perique in it. I mean, some of them have Burley in it.
Yeah, so. That's true.
Now, Perique's different. I mean, some have Perique in it, though. So, I don't know. The way I see it is, if it says it's got Virginia and Latakia in it, it's English. And the percentage of what's in there can be, you know, a Scottish blend, or then how much Oriental's in there versus Latakia. It depends if it's a Balkan blend or not. There was some Oriental in this, right?
There is
some Oriental? Oh. This is the first time I've had this. I've been wanting to try it for quite a while because it has quite a following on the interwebs and all the forums and YouTube and all that.
It does, man. People, it's kind of like a cult thing, this Seattle Pipe Club. I mean, the first pipe tobacco that I really, I guess, fell in love with was Plum Pudding. But I'm now, it's probably my least favorite pipe tobacco because you used to be able to buy in bulk. And I've got like 2 8-ounce Mason jars just stock full of it. But now they don't sell it in bulk anymore. You can only buy it in 2 and 8-ounce tins, which I'm pretty fucking frustrated about, pipes and cigars, just so you know. I am. They used to do it. It was really nice.
You can hop on here and tell thousands of people what you feel about it.
I did. I told them I'm fucking pissed off about it. It's because no one was buying their stupid tins. And then because it was cheaper. It's always cheaper to buy in bulk. So people were buying in bulk. Bullshit. Fuck off. Anyways, so what do you guys think of this shit so far? Jared and I have already had a disagreement about what the blend smells like in the mason jar.
What it smells like? Let's see.
How, like, Latakia dominant do you think it smells, Ben?
Not very.
That's what I said.
No, it's not.
I'll be honest now. Mine doesn't smell as smoky as it did when I first opened it. I swear it was smoky. I just opened it again. It's not so smoky.
You know what your new name is? John Kerry Moonbeam. Because you're a flip-flopper.
I'll stand by it if I believe it, but that time it didn't smell as smoky.
It didn't smell smoky at all. It does a little bit, but not like, not to what a traditional English would smell like, I don't think. Yeah, but it smells good.
It's got a nice, sweet, plummy kind of, almost a honey type.
That's
of...
That's what I was going to say, actually.
Smell on it. It smells really good.
I know. I was going to say the same thing. I was going to say like a honey, almost kind of like a pecan kind of sweetness, kind of, a little bit. I'm trying to like mix it.
First open this thing, it was smoky with some sweetness, and now it's mostly sweet. I don't know what happened.
So what are you guys smoking it out of?
What?
What pipe are you smoking it out of?
Oh, go ahead. Jared. I'll tell. I got a story behind mine, so y'all go last.
Because that's fine. Because okay. Mine's quick. Mine's just some quick little, decent little pipe Logan gave me.
Hey, Moonbeam, my friendship. There's benefits being friends with me, is there not?
That's all the story I got for it. It's a pipe. It works great. Looks pretty good. Logan gave it to me.
And it was free. So I am smoking out of, and I've got like a 10-second rant here, is I don't know a lot about pipe tobacco. I'll be the first to admit. And I, like a dumbass, have been a member of the Pipes and Cigars Pipe Tobacco of the Month Club for about, I don't know, maybe 10 months now. Actually, now like 9 months now. And every month seems to be getting worse and worse and worse. Like, there was 2 months in a row they sent me a tin of Escudo, which was very nice. I was very happy about that. But recently it's been just a litany of really shitty tobacco. And let me just kind of go through some of the gems I've been receiving. Let me see. This is October. I got Orlick Dark Strong Kentucky, which I know a lot of people like that, but I'm not a real big friend of that. Then I got the Match Balkan Sobrani, which, let me just say, tastes nothing like Balkan Sobrani. Then I got Ooh, a little bit of Stanwell Cherry. That's 2013, because I know how to date Orlick cans or tins. That's from 2013. Obviously, that's not selling well. And then Cavendish in the Woods. Cavendish in the Woods is Russ's monthly blend for October. All black Cavendish mixture, dark and definitely not stormy. A smooth blend of confectionery and dark fruit notes will take the chill out of the Halloween night. Okay. Let's keep going. This is December. I have November's in here somewhere. I don't know where it is. Maybe I threw November's away. I got some Peterson Irish Dew, which is lovely. Peter Stokeby 46 Cinnamon, another perennial favorite. H&H Signature Drawing Room, never heard of it. And something else I've never heard of. So needless to say, I haven't been getting quite a very good selection. And needless to say, I'm going to probably quit paying my $20 a month, although it's super cheap. But the best part is, every month they send me a fucking cob to smoke out of. I don't know if you can see the level of cob on that, but I would just like for you guys to read, where does it say my cob is made?
There it is. You can read it right there.
Made in China.
I didn't know they grew corn in China. Do they?
Apparently. Why not? Yeah. We export, pipe cobs?
It seems like it'd be more expensive to just ship the shit over there, a bunch of corn cobs, and then ship pipes back. I feel like it would just be cheaper. Crazy. But anyways, there's my rant about, and I'm smoking it just for shits and grins out of this really shitty Chinese cob. But Ben, tell us your story about your pipe.
Okay. Anyway, as we talked about our previous shows, this past Thanksgiving, my wife's working temporarily just outside of Houston, Texas at a hospital. So we went over there because my son's out for a week of school, and we decided we're going to go spend Thanksgiving with her over there for the whole week. So go over there, and I don't get a lot of smoking time while I'm over there, because I got my six-year-old most of the time with me. So I didn't get to smoke a lot of cigars or pipes, but I was able to, browse a lot of the pipe forums and, do stuff like that while I was there. And one of the YouTube channels that has got like a huge cult following is Dagner Pipes. Now, they make a lot of really nice-looking pipes. And they sell out really quick. Well, I noticed on their, I think it was on the Facebook page, if I remember right, they had a sale going on some of their pipes on Black Friday. And I thought, well, hell, why not? I usually don't buy anything on Black Friday because it's such a shitty time. But I thought, yeah, I'm going to check out what they got. So anyway, I get online, and I see this beautiful, short, stubby billiard with a copper ring. And it just looked amazing. I'm like, holy shit. And usually, I think it was like, I can't remember how much originally it was like $99 now. And I thought, shit, I've been wanting to get one of his pipes for a while. So I said, well, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to snag this billiard. So I buy the billiard, I make up my account, I check out, go on my way. So about, I think it was around Tuesday or Wednesday of the next week, I get back home and I start checking my email. For some reason, I don't know how I didn't see it. I get an email from Jason Dagner from Dagner Pipe saying, hey, man, we've been trying to contact you. That beer that we had, we were off by one on our inventory count, so we don't have your pipe for you. Can I swap out for another pipe, or do you want to issue me a refill? You let me know. I said, shit. I mean, he's been trying to contact me. I don't know how he's been trying to contact me. So I said, well, I'll email him back. I just say, hey, because they had the one I bought was a billiard. Well, they had a brandy model. It looked exactly the same except it was just a brandy shaped bowl. No big deal. So I emailed him back. I'm like, hey, that's no problem. If you can, if you have any more billiards you're going to be making anytime soon, I'll wait. I'm a patient person. It's not a big deal. I have to have it for Christmas. It's just for me. But I said, but if you're not, then just give me that brandy. That's perfectly fine with me. So I send that off, and about 3 hours go by, and I'm like, you know what? Let me just try to give him a call.
Right.
So I go to my house phone to pick it up, which we never, ever use the house phone. I mean, because if somebody wants to get a hold of us, they just call our cell phone, each one of us, so we don't ever use it. So I go to pick it up, and I see the answering machine light flashed on. What the hell? I click on it, dude. It's like four messages from him.
How'd he get your number?
Because when I filled out my account, I put my home phone number on there as my phone number and not my cell phone number.
Mm.
So he's been trying to call me, not knowing that I was in Houston. I didn't know I could check this machine. So I got on. He's like, man, I'm just still trying to get a hold of you, but if you can, please give me a call back. You know, let me know what you want to do. I'm like, holy shit. So I just hit redial on the phone from where he called from, and I finally got a hold of him. I was like, holy shit, Ben. I've been trying to get a hold of you for the longest time. I'm like, Dad, man, it's my fault. I put down my own phone, and I was in Texas for Thanksgiving, so I wasn't even home to get your calls. It's pretty cool because Dagner Pipes, if you go there, that's the name of their YouTube channel, just Dagner Pipes. If you go watch some of their things, they kind of like do almost like a pipe herf. They just talk about different things that they're doing. It's really, really cool. But they remind me, for cigar people, they remind me a lot of like Drew Estate, you know, when Jason's kind of like, you know, Jonathan Drew. Because they kind of got, they're not like the normal type of, you know, pipe people that you would think of. I mean, they're like, they're biker people, you know, from the Florida. Right. I mean, just really cool down to earth people, you know, just kind of, you know, but their appearance is just like, you know, rock, you know, heavy metal, you know, biker people and stuff, which is, they're super cool. So they kind of have a really strong following on there. So anyway, I finally get a hold of him. He's like, man, shit, dude. I'm so sorry. I want to, you know, try to make this right for it. I was just out of the computer. I was about to issue a refund because I hadn't heard from him. So glad you called. He said, so what do you want me to do? I said, well, I told him what I put in the email. I said, look, if you make any more billiards that you're going to be making coming up soon, just I'll wait and just, you know, send it when you make it. He started, you know, and he went, well, I was thinking, well, he's not going to be making any. So I said, all right. I said, just give me the Brady, dude. It's no problem. And he was like, okay, man, I'll do that. He's like, well, shit, man. I'm like, what? He said, well, I got one Brady here, but it's got kind of like this little imperfection in the finish that really bothers me, but it's not nothing really big. I said, dude, I don't care. It's a smoker for me. I'm not going to collect it and sell it later. Nothing like that. It's for me to smoke, so I don't give a shit, right?
Right.
He said, man, I really appreciate this. I said, man, I'm going to throw you a whole bunch of shit in your box, dude. I said, I'm gonna load you up with some stuff, and I really appreciate it. I said, man, I really appreciate you. I don't have to do that because it's basically my fault, but I really appreciate it. And I hear him like rumbling around on the phone or whatever. He's like, oh, man, I already got one put in your box, I think. Let me look at this. He said, yeah, I remember now. When I first called you about the pipe bit, I pulled out the best brandy billiard that I had. And it's beautiful, got a beautiful wood grain to it, beautiful finish and all that. And I said, yeah, dude, I appreciate it. He said, yeah, I'm going to say, says, I'm still going to throw a bunch of shit in your box for you, man. I really appreciate it. And so I'm like, all right, man, I love that, dude. Like 2 days later, dude, there it is.
There it is.
Nice little, it's a beautiful little pipe, dude. And I was kind of like, you know, a stubby. I thought, I don't know about a little stubby pipe. Dude, this thing is so comfortable.
You like it?
Oh, I freaking love it, dude. It smokes, and this is no shit. It smokes just as good as my Sir Jopico or my Ardor pipes I got over there. Just as good. And it's about, what, if they're brand new, see, this would be a quarter of the price. It's crazy. Beautiful.
So you give me two pipes?
No, just this one.
Okay.
He ended up, instead of giving me the imperfection one, he said he already put one that he had hand-picked out of the lot in the first batch. Mm. But it comes in this pipe bag, and that's our logo right there. Hmm. Pretty badass. And I'll show you the stuff that he threw in there. I had ordered a couple things. Let's see. I don't know what's all that is. Yeah, he gave me a little koozie out of there. Which can't have enough beer koozies. This is the thing I was talking to Jerry about last week. It's like, you know, it holds a lighter.
You know? I was going to say it looks like a badge clip, the corporate job.
It is, basically, but I guess you put like a lighter, like a big lighter in there.
Yeah.
Huh. And then got this little keychain that's a beer opener, which is always useful. And then I got, let's see. goddamn sticky bullshit. Can you see me a couple stickers, like their logo, which I think is pretty badass looking.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and then their other logo there. That one, just normal thing. Sticker. These are stickers. You get two of each of those, and the patch. I got a patch there. So, I mean, he loaded me up, dude. I have to say, he really went out of his way to try to get a hold of me. Like, I myself would have probably given up way before he did. There's no doubt. But he kept on and on and on. So that's why I just wanted to give a shout-out to them. I mean, for one, it's, you know, it's a nice, small American pipe maker, you know.
America.
Yeah, like I was telling Jared last week, it'd be nice to focus a little bit on them if we can, too, you know. I mean,
well, let's have him come on the show. Since you know him so well, you're best friends now.
yeah, we're best friends. But, no, it's just, I mean, really great people to deal with, you know. Like I said, you're buying, you know, artisan pipe from a local American maker, you know. So, I mean, it's really good customer service. And it's, you know, nowadays, how many times can you say you got great customer service? Not many times.
Not many.
No. Not to mention it smokes really damn well. Dude, I've literally had not many pipes I've got have done this, but pretty much since I've got this pipe, I've smoked it every single day. Every day. Yeah. Every day.
So what makes it such a good smoker? I hear that term all the time. I just don't know what the fuck it means.
Well, for me, it fits well. You know, when I hold it in my mouth, it just seems to sit well. The tobaccos, when I put them in there, they burn well. They don't get any harshness to them. I don't get any weird flavors. I just get pure tobacco flavor or whatever I'm smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And mainly just that it burns really well. It burns well, and I've had a couple of different pipes that I've smoked, like some of the Dunhills in, and like if I smoke it with my Sir Jabico, I just seem like I get more out of the tobacco blend. Like I can taste more of it, a little mm-hmm. more nuances and stuff, and it doesn't get harsh at all. And just that, you know, the smoke flows really well through them, you know, and they pack real easy. Just, you know, everything you want to, if you're smoking a pipe tobacco, everything you say, well, I wish this would happen to make it, you know, a nice smoke, happens to these pipes. And this one, dude, when I smoke some of the Dunhills in this and I smoke other ones, it just smokes better to me. Same in the Sir Jabico, they just smoke better. They taste better. They don't get as harsh or as musty. They don't take as many relights. You know, that's why I said it's a good smoker. That's pretty much what I mean.
Let me just tell you, this Chinese Cob is smoking amazing.
I did and while we're jumping back to that, I got a little fact-finding mission for you.
What's that?
About corn. The United States is the largest producer of corn in the world, and the unit of measurement they use is a TMT, which is 1,000 metric ton. I'm just saying that because it's hard to say these without just using the abbreviation. The U.S. averages 236,041 TMTs a year of corn. China is the second largest producer of corn in the world at 115,000 TMT.
Right.
So, yes, they do produce
they make some corn.
Yeah, they make a lot of corn. I mean, second largest producer in the world, so yeah, it's a lot of corn.
I mean, it's not surprising. I mean, hell, look how big that damn country is.
It's really not that big.
How is it not? It's freaking massive.
China's really not that big. I'm not saying in terms of people. Obviously, in terms of people, yes. But in terms of land mass, it's really not that big.
Compared to us?
Compared to the U.S.
I would think it'd be on par with it.
Fuck no. If you count Alaska, the U.S. puts it to shame. The U.S. is one of the largest countries in the world.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, we drove 2 hours and went through three countries in Europe, so.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point.
I just, compared to that, you know, I know it's no Russia, but I mean.
Well, I mean, Russia's pretty goddamn big. Yeah, Russia's pretty damn big.
That's
one country. Place I'd like to go before I die.
That's the only country that spans, what, two continents?
Yep. It does. Europe and Asia. Well, technically, yeah. It's massive.
Let's see. Let's
go. Are you Googling? Are you like our fact checker? Make sure Logan's not like making shit up.
The total area of the United States is around 3.8 million square miles.
Okay.
The total area of China is 3.7 million square miles.
The U.S. is bigger.
By about 100,000 square miles.
I win.
So it's not a whole lot bigger, but it is bigger.
But does that factor in Alaska?
It's factoring in, that's just United States.
Is that the continental United States, or is that...
Oh, it sure is.
I don't know. Alaska is, like, fucking massive.
That's including Alaska.
Wow.
That seems strange. What's the biggest country in the world in terms of square miles?
Oh, it's Russia.
Because we're third, so... Well, it looks like us and China are third and fourth, just kind of back and forth. The United States has about 322 million people, whereas China has 1.4 billion people.
When was that updated?
2015 estimates.
I was going to say, I thought the U.S. was more like 360.
That's this year's estimates.
Hmm.
Let's see.
You want to hear a really funny story? So, not that you care, because I'm going to tell you the fucking story anyways.
I say, nobody said yes, so go ahead.
I know, I'm going to tell you anyways. About population growth, it's really funny.
But yes, it is Russia, largest country in the world.
Russia, okay. So, when I was in India, like, what I love to do when I have my driver drive me back and forth to the office, I love just fucking, literally, I'll just smoke a cigar, smoke a pipe, and I'll just stare out the window, right, and just roll down the windows and just take in the smells and just try to experience the culture and the country and stuff like that. I do that anywhere I'm at, really. But so anyways, when I was there, I got fascinated. What they have is these little, technically they're cabs. They'd be equivalent to cabs in the U.S., but they're almost like moped kind of things with like a seat on the back of them. And they call them tuk-tuks. And yeah, they're like little gas-powered things. Yeah. They're fucking awesome. If I could buy one for like $500 and pay $5,000 to import it in the U.S., I would, because they're fucking awesome. I could take that thing to downtown Austin on the weekends and rent someone, have somebody drive it around. It would make a fucking killing. That thing's awesome. But anyways, so on the back of all these tuk-tuks, I was like really fascinated, because I started noticing, even on the back of all a bunch of cars, and they had this like pyramid thing, and it said, "We's two, R's one." And I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? We's two, R's one. So, like, I spent several days trying to figure out what the fuck it is, because, like, after watching TV over there, I figured out cricket and all the rules in cricket. And, you know, usually you can kind of just figure shit out. Well, I couldn't figure the fuck out. And I'm like, we's two, R's one? Like, what the fuck does that mean? So I went to Rajesh, my counterpart over there, and I go, dude, I'm going to ask you a really stupid American question here. Now, the back of these fucking tuk-tuks, man, like, I keep seeing we's two, R1. What the fuck does that mean? And he goes, why don't you take a guess? And I go, all right, well, I'll take a guess. I was like, what I'm thinking is it's like a government message for, like, my guess is it's a government message for, like, sustainable living, right? Like, we two married people, like, we have to provide for one, like, keep the environment clean and all this kind of shit, right? That's what I thought it meant. I was taking a wild guess. He's like, well, you're close. He's actually goes, it's a government propaganda scandal for population reduction. Like, we's two, like, man and wife, have one kid. Ours one. So that was their message on population growth. And the only reason I told you that story is because China does the same thing.
Well, I don't know they did that.
Yeah, we's two, R's one. Anytime you're in India, we's two, R's one, now you know what the fuck it means.
You know, we never did talk about it. Well, let's go ahead and get into it. What are y'all getting out of this smoke so far?
Wigwams and totem poles.
Gotcha.
You know, Potlatch, Northeast Indians, Native Americans. It's got like a, I can taste the burley in it. And it's got that kind of burley bite. I don't know if anyone else is getting that. But like, it doesn't taste like a typical English to me. Like, I'm definitely getting more of the Virginia sweetness and like that nuttiness out of the burley. And I'm drinking sweet tea, and it's definitely giving me a little bit of a bite. I don't know about you guys.
I'm getting the nuttiness out of the burley for sure. Very small, I guess you say bite, but nothing. Not a tongue bite, just a little tinge.
Almost like some cinnamon. Like a cinnamony kind of like nuttiness. You know what it tastes like? You know, like how they'll do like those kind of sugar, cinnamon coated like peanuts. You know what I'm talking about?
You talking about like Boston beans?
Kind of like that, yeah. That's what kind of tastes like.
I hadn't had those in so long, dude. I don't know.
It tastes kind of like that. What do you think, Bullshark?
To me, this is pretty a complex blend for me, because it doesn't taste the same as when I first started smoking. It was sweeter when I first started it up, but now what I'm getting, I get the nuttiness. I get like a floral note too. That's why I was, you know, wondering about the Orientals when I first asked you if they had Orientals in it. But I pick up that like that cinnamony type of note you're talking about. But
it's actually pretty good.
Yeah, there's a nice, there's like that when I smelled the bag and I said it kind of, there's a sweetness that reminded me a little bit of honey.
Yeah,
it kind of tastes a little bit like the sweetness is a little bit honey like. I mean, that could be with the Orientals in there too, with the sweet Virginias, you know, but. It's pretty nice. I enjoy it. You're right, though. To me, I would not think English to this at all.
No. This is more like a fucking hodgepodge blend, where it's like you're trying to force it into a category. It was good, don't get me wrong, but like if you pick this up thinking it's going to taste like a traditional English, then you're like, you think this is going to taste like Nightcap, and you're going to be very, very upset.
No, to me, it's more of a Balkan.
Kinda, yeah, a little bit.
Which to me is not a bad thing, because it seems like I have a thing for Balkan blends, but it's nice. It's real nice.
I gotta say about this, you know, being a good smoker. After smoking out of the Chinese cob, which, by the way, if anybody wants to email me and get a free pipe, I'd be more than glad to send it to you at no charge. But I just loaded up that, and now I'm smoking out of my favorite Dunhill. And, dude, the difference in smoking out of those two is like night and day.
Well, yeah.
Like completely different.
That's like saying driving this tuk-tuk is a hell of a lot different than driving this Bentley Continental.
Hey, man, there's some fancy-ass tuk-tuks over there, man. I actually drove one. I talked the driver to let me drive one around Madras. It was fucking awesome. I did not get in a wreck, I think, somehow.
Wow.
I know. But anyway.
The one from Q Branch that can do the wheelies and everything.
That was, no, they're in James Bond, they have a tuk-tuk, remember?
That's what I said. You need the one from Q Branch, which is the one that VJ had. That was his guy down there driving the tuk-tuk.
And well, he hits, dude, the, I don't know everyone's name and their fucking birthday, Moonbeam, right, on James Bond shit like you do. All I know is you were referring to James Bond, so I said you're referring to James Bond.
Yeah, I thought you were saying, like, no, they had one. Like, I know they did.
No, I was referring to it because I don't know that it was VJ's driver and he was really named blah, blah, blah. I don't know all that shit.
You know which movie it was?
To Russia with Love.
It would actually be From Russia with Love, but no, that's not the right movie.
I know it was an older one.
Yeah, it wasn't Sean Connery old, though.
No, it was Roger Moore. It was Roger Moore. I remember that. Oh, fuck. Tell me what the plot was.
Was it Octopussy?
The plot was to steal jewels. The Russians, well, one of the Russian generals was stealing a bunch of jewels and using another woman and her fancy skilled ladies to help steal the jewels in a circus. Which, yes, is Octopussy.
To Russia with Love sound pretty good.
Yeah, but wrong. But yeah, yeah.
Wrong twice. I mean, wrong in a lot of ways. Because one, it's From Russia with Love. Two, no, it's not the right movie. And three, that was Sean Connery, not Roger Moore. So.
Who was the bastard James Bond that was only had like? I know there's Timothy Dalton, Roger George Moore, Lazenby, Sean Connery. There was one guy that was in two or one.
No, George Lazenby only had one.
Yeah.
What did he do? Which one did he do?
On Her Majesty's Secret Service. Sean Connery did five of them.
Okay. Roger Moore did the most.
Yeah, he did seven.
Then what about Pierce Brosnan?
Sean Connery did five, and then George Lazenby came in and then went hippie and decided not to do. He was actually supposed to do the next one. And then Sean Connery did one more. Then Moore did seven. Dalton did two, and Pierce did four.
Yeah. And they were the worst ones, too.
What? Of GoldenEye was legit.
Just think GoldenEye's the best one. I mean, that one actually is really good.
The other one? That's it. The rest of them were freaking terrible.
No. The World Is Not Enough is not bad with Holly Berry.
Oh, that's the worst.
You can't get me to call any Bond just horrible.
Dude, the one with Halle Berry in it, the
she's
bad guy,
hot.
His accent changed four times in the damn movie. It was terrible. Absolutely terrible.
I like them all.
Is that where it's like the North Korean dude who gets like the surgery to look like Western?
Yeah. No, that was half decent. No, the one I was talking about was the one that had
Well, that's the same
it
one.
Wasn't, it wasn't Halle Berry, it was the other
Halle one. Berry was that one with
Oh, it was Lois Lane.
Oh, you're talking about, Lois Lane, Terry Hatcher.
The British dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tomorrow Never Dies.
Yeah, that was.
That's the world. World Is Not Enough.
That was the worst one.
Yeah, that's The World Is Not Enough.
And then Daniel Craig do? He did like four, didn't he?
He just did. Spectre was number four.
But he's out.
Not officially.
He was supposed to do five movies. His contract was for five. But I have read quite a few articles where he is just done being Bond and he's not doing it anymore. But I haven't officially seen that he's out yet.
Well, the last interview I saw with him said that he'll do another one, but he wants more money. Like he's really sick of doing it.
No, he is. He's tired.
How could you be sick of just making an ass pile of money and being James Bond?
I don't know.
I don't get it either. All his other movies are shit. No offense, Daniel Craig. Am I wrong? What other movie is he in that's been good?
Defiance was good.
What?
Arcane. Yeah, the Defiance was good too.
It was okay. That was a World War II movie, right?
Yeah, and Arcane.
Jerry was trying to get out.
And then also the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Yeah.
I read the book. Dude, that shit is fucked up.
Well, I didn't read the book. I just watched the movie.
I don't know how the book differs. I don't know how the book and the movie differs, but I read the book, and I about shit my pants for real.
Well, I watched the Swedish version. As opposed to the Swedish movie version, is a lot better. Like, it's really true to the book. Real true.
Okay, well, if you watch the Swedish version, the book made me, like, kind of freaked you out. It was kind of ridiculous.
My guess is you just have to be him to understand why he's tired of it, because I can't see why you'd get one of the biggest acting jobs there is out there and get tired of it.
No, it's the same as, like, the Doctor Who. I'm a huge Doctor Who fan. So why you would ever leave that, to me, is insane. I mean,
I've seen a lot of people leave stuff like not big franchises. Like, I'm going to do something else. I'm going to be better than this. And they leave, and it's like, damn it, should have stayed. It's like, yeah, probably.
Here's a question, Moonbeam. How big of a fucking boner would you have if you got to play James Bond?
I am not an actor.
Would you have, like, a Texas-sized chubby? I bet you would.
The fact that I am a Texan means I never can be, so I don't got to worry about it.
What is that supposed to mean?
It's got to be English, what he's saying. You have to be English.
Daniel Craig's not English.
Yeah, he is.
Bullshit.
He is from England. I can't remember exactly where now.
You're right. No fucking way.
You're right. He's Chinese. I forgot.
Nah, man. He's like Dutch or something. He is not fucking English.
You got to be.
Okay, Sean Connery.
You have to be English.
Roger Moore, obviously.
He was born March 2nd, 1968 in Chester, United Kingdom.
Yeah, but how long did he live there?
His life.
I doubt it. A year.
What the fuck makes you think Dutch?
I made that shit up.
Well, that's
I know he's not Dutch. Dude, he has no British accent whatsoever. None at all.
He is an English actor.
Dude. No.
Yeah, I'm trying to see where he currently lives because I don't remember.
In the U.S., probably L.A.
Well, yeah, our taxes are so much better.
And wasn't Sean Connery Irish?
Scottish.
Or Scottish?
Scottish, yeah.
That's not even the U.K. I mean, well, it's the U.K.
Yeah.
You just answered yourself, so yeah.
That's not
George
English.
Lazenby was Australian.
That's not a fucking British either.
It's Commonwealth. But really, you need to be.
Yeah, but that was like.
You have to be an American. Americans can't be Bond.
No. We overthrew that tyranny and became our own people.
But see, this rule, this hard and fast rule of you need to be English, it sounds pretty loose to me.
It is fairly loose, but it's not going to be an American.
What about an American that lived over somewhere in the UK or somewhere in the Commonwealth for 6 months? Does that count?
No.
So, wasn't the U.S. technically a Commonwealth at one point?
It was a colony.
Well.
But like I said, we changed that in 1776, bitch.
Well, we changed it in 1781 when we actually won, right?
Yeah. Declaration of Independence. That's what happened.
I disagree with that, Ben.
Well, you could try.
You could try to argue with me. Just because you write something down on paper doesn't mean it's true. Like, you know what I mean?
That's our Declaration of Independence from England. After that, we were just fighting to kick their ass out of the U.S.
Yeah, but you still have people over here saying, hey, you're mine. You didn't really become free until you won the war.
Mm. No, we just had the rest of those years to teach a British a lesson.
Just the rest of those years to teach, you know, the James Bond-ish people a lesson, which aren't even really British. I don't see Ricky Gervais or whatever his name is. Now, that's a British dude right there. He should do it. He should be Bond.
Actually, the last rumors I heard was Idris Elba from Luther. Exactly. He plays in a show called Luther, which is phenomenal, phenomenal TV show. It's unbelievably good. But he's the guy that played the gatekeeper, Heimdall, on
Thor. Yes, that guy's awesome.
Except he's black.
On Thor.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, can James Bond not be a black guy?
I mean, he's a white dude forever in all the books and everything.
He's not. There's nothing wrong. He's just not. That's completely changing the character.
Yeah. I think he would be a badass Bond, though. But you can't change it. You couldn't have an Indian Bond. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you don't want to change a character up like that.
That's why I couldn't have some Texan as Bond, because that accent that's not Bond. And
I mean, I want me to say this, is that I guarantee you that guy has more of a British accent than freaking Daniel Craig does.
Well, here, let me tell you this, since you're arguing that point. Going through this thing, I can see...
First of all, you have to tell me where you're reading and referencing.
I'm going between IMDb, Wikipedia, and some autobiographies. He definitely was in London all the way through his acting career, or his training in schools.
Okay.
He bought an apartment in London in 2008.
That's not cheap.
No, it wasn't. What did it say he paid for that thing?
Millions.
He's James Bond. Who cares? He can afford it.
Did you know...
But he does currently have an apartment in New York.
Uh-oh.
Who doesn't?
But, I mean...
Me.
Come on. They got that kind of money. And you'd say he didn't grow up in London. Well, obviously he was there till he was, from 62 to 2008?
He's a Londoner.
When I was in London, I don't know, a while back. Do you know how much the address 1 Baker Street, London, United Kingdom, whatever, whatever, was selling for, like, a year ago?
What?
It's just a flat. Like, it's not even a house. It's just a flat. 1 Baker Street. Dude, it was like $13 million or something.
And here it is. October 2008, he paid £4 million for an apartment in a converted old house in Primrose Hill near Regent's Park in London.
Jesus.
So whatever £4 million was in dollars in 2008.
1.5 of that. Times that by 1.5.
I'll tell you what, if I had fuck you money, I'd buy that flat.
Fuck you, buddy. I'd buy a flat in London.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I would buy that 1 Baker Street flat.
All right, here's a great question. If you had fuck you money, and I'm not talking like 20 million, I'm talking like 100 million, where it just doesn't fucking, or even a billion, doesn't even fucking matter. What would you do? You would buy a flat in London. Jared, what else? What would you do, Ben? What would you do, Jared?
Where to start? Get out of Corpus Christi first.
Yeah, I wouldn't be in the Mississippi Gulf Coast either.
I'd have to go buy my cars finally, get my Aston Martin. I'd have a nice house and a nice boat, and I would travel. I don't know if I'd have I might have multiple real estate, but I don't know about that.
Oh, I definitely would. I'd probably buy a nice house on let's see where. Probably one in the Swiss Alps. Probably have one in Lake Como in Italy.
Get some in Gstaad.
Do what?
Get a place in Gstaad.
Oh, yeah. I probably would. Because let me tell you, the best Davidoff cigar I ever had was called Gstaad. It's a blend only for the Madison. It's only for that store that's in Gstaad. But they got it at the Madison Avenue store. It is the best Davidoff I've ever smoked in my life. So, yeah, I'd probably get one there.
I'd probably just do whatever I want and put it in the stock market and just turn my billion into billions and just really...
I mean, honestly, that's what we probably would all do. He said, how would we spend it, you know?
I mean, honestly, I wouldn't spend any money. I would live in the same house.
You got billions and you don't spend any money.
No, I wouldn't.
And you're just going to die. You never got to play with the money. You lived as if you made thousands.
And then all I would do is I would just put in my will that... You know, Callaway had to be nice to me, so that way I could always make sure my daughter loved me. And then if she was bad, I would just give it away to like a puppy, you know, charity or something. No, actually, what I would do is I wouldn't work. I would honestly just be a lazy fucking bum, and I would just travel wherever the fuck I wanted, when the fuck I wanted. But I wouldn't go buying crazy real estate. I wouldn't go buying crazy fucking cars. I'd still live in the same house. I would still drive the same fucking car. I just wouldn't work, and I would just literally go visit every country on the face of the earth. That's what I would do.
That's kind of boring.
That's kind of like, go fuck yourself, bull shark. How's that boring?
You got that kind of, if you really have fuck you money, what are you worried about? Go buy a house.
I don't need things. Like, everyone's like, why don't you... Jared, do you not remember IPCPR 2015... I found the best pipe store on eBay and got that completely discontinued Savinelli Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Normally like $130. Found it was 67, brand new, unsmoked. and I couldn't pull the trigger. And the jury's like, you make enough money, quit being a fucking pussy and just buy it.
It's a
Otherwise,
little different.
Pick off the goddamn thing.
It is a little, yeah, you make good money. There's no problem with that. You don't worry about it. But you don't make fuck you money.
Oh, God,
no. You couldn't just quit right now and do it. So that's the difference. You are still saving money to have fuck you money.
And now you're buying Dunhill pipes now.
I did. That was just because I wanted to look classy on the show.
Yeah, but you didn't buy just one. That's the thing.
But I got them on the cheap, man. Got them on the cheap.
On the cheap for Dunhill.
Somebody's poking holes in your whole theory here.
I didn't spend $500 a pipe. All of them were sub $100.
But you didn't stop at one.
I mean, who can stop at one? I mean, just look at this beast. Tell me that is not just a dead fucking sexy pipe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just realized how festive you're being with that giant reindeer in the back behind you, too.
That's like
Mr. Grinch over there.
Face fucking me. Yeah. It would, you know, Allie last year, you know, actually, I really should take you guys out in front of the house because, first of all, I hate Christmas. And I love Jesus, but I hate Christmas, the materialistic side of Christmas. And I always give my wife shit about it because her and her family are so materialistic. And this year, she was like, we're going to, you know, our daughter's old enough. Well, by old enough, we mean over a year old. She's like, we need to deck the halls. We need to have two trees. And I'm like, I'll fucking kill
two
me.
Two trees?
Oh, yeah. One for upstairs, one for downstairs. Dude, it's like fucking horrible around here.
We usually have five trees, but not now with Connor.
Hold up, Moonbeam. Five fucking trees? Did you say five trees?
Yeah.
I mean,
each
like
decorated, each different. What's that?
These big trees are like some of them Charlie Brown trees, like little no, little bitch.
They're all 6 foot trees.
Where God. The fuck did you put five trees?
We've always had decent sized houses. We had in our house in Brenham, it was 3,000 square feet, so we had one in the living room, one in the den, one in the sitting room, one in the bedroom. And I can't remember where the fifth
you got
one went.
A Christmas tree in your goddamn bedroom?
Yeah. Each room means a Christmas tree. Each one was different.
Wow.
One had vintage shiny brights on it. One had, like, silver and blue. The other was red. The other one had old world ornaments on it.
Dude.
They're all different.
Like, I got a 3,000 square foot house, too, but there ain't five goddamn Christmas trees.
I have a 3,000 square foot house, too, and there's not five goddamn Christmas trees running around either.
Well, we've got two up right now.
Moonbeam. That's all I can say. Just shake my head at you.
We like Christmas.
I did not know about that. Anyways, let me continue my rant about Christmas. So Allie wanted to deck the halls on the front of the house. Dude, I found these fucking things, man. They're like $60. It's like LED light things, and you basically shine them at your house.
Yeah, it's one little laser light shoots.
Oh, dude, it's fucking awesome. So about two of them, dude, they're fucking great. Like, you know how big the front of my house is, Jared. I mean, it's a pretty wide front of the house. With two of them, it makes my house look like fucking the Griswolds. It's awesome.
I actually got up on a ladder and put lights around my ridges and on the eaves along my gutters.
I need to get one of those, man. You have to send me a link to where you bought one of those things.
I actually have two different models.
Whichever one's a good one.
They're both really good. It just depends on what you want.
You see, his parents have that, and they're out in the country. They got one in the garage, one in the house. The one that shoots on the house overshoots the house and hits all the trees, which, you know, they've got some.
Dude, the trees is the best part.
All the trees light up. It looks really neat.
Dude, the tree, it gets part of that patch of big oaks on the other side of my house, Jared. And when the wind blows, dude, it looks fucking awesome. I'm going to buy another one next year just to point at the oak trees because it's fucking awesome. So, needless to say.
Those are Logan-approved Christmas decorations for sure. Stake plug.
I mean, it made
photo
my life.
Sells on, they turn themselves on and off. Who cares?
I mean, it's been, I'm not going to lie, it's been pretty nice. I cannot believe you had five goddamn Christmas trees.
When I brought down the Christmas stuff to start decorating, I literally took about 50% of what's in my attic out. It was just Christmas. We have a lot of Christmas.
Well, that's a hell of a segue. we're bumping up on the hour, so
maybe. Yeah, and I'm actually to the bottom of this pipe here.
Yeah, me too.
Moonbeam, give us your thoughts.
Complex. It started out.
Everything Ben does, Ben says. Are you like a repeater?
I didn't say complex yet.
Yes, you did. You said this is a complex blend. It keeps changing.
Well, that's what I got. It kept changing. I never got the honey he got. It may have just been me, but I didn't get the honey. I could see the cinnamon. I had a spicy. I don't know if I definitely would have said cinnamon. You said cinnamon, and it tasted like cinnamon. So I was getting a spice. Could have been cinnamon, but once you put it in my head, I definitely got it. I definitely got the toasted, nutty, burly notes in it. I got the oriental, I guess what, maybe the latakia or something, the little spice hits, little tingles like that. But it kept changing on me from top to bottom. It hasn't stayed the same for more than a few minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the same with me. it's very complex. You're right. Like, I swear it. It's like, I bet it changed 6 or 7 times in this bowl. It's insane. I've never smoked a pipe blend this complex yet. And probably because there's so many different things in this blend. But I get a little bit of everything from those tobaccos in here, too. I get that nice sweetness, which to me, it came across as honey a little bit from the Virginias. I got the nuttiness from the Burley. I got that smokiness, kind of the richness, a little bit of creaminess, not much, though, from the Latakia. I definitely got, like, the floral aspects from the Turkish Orientals. I'm assuming they're Turkish Orientals.
Yep.
I don't know. Okay, Yeah, because it tastes like it is. You get that nice floral note. And they kind of all come and go in waves. It's really interesting, really interesting. But probably the most dominant thing is, to me, that night, what it kind of comes across as to me is like honey roasted cashews.
Yep.
You know, with a little bit of like cinnamon. And it's just, it's a really nice blend. I enjoyed it. But like I said, I had no preconceived notions of what I thought it might be anyway. So I knew it had a kind of big following, but shit, everything in the Seattle Pipe Club has got a cult following with it. You know? I mean, none of them are like Mississippi River, which is just ridiculous how many people love that one. But
I thought that shit sucked.
It's okay. I like this a lot better.
I like this way better.
I haven't smoked enough to say I like it way better, but I do. I know for a fact I like it better. It's a really, really good blend. Definitely a good blend. What did you get out of there, Manatee?
Bull Shark. Well, Jared pretty much already gave you my review. I didn't really get the creaminess or a lot of the floral notes. I thought the Burley was really dominant. Almost kind of like, yeah, Boston baked beans was a good example. Not necessarily creamy. Latakia was definitely in the background. Definitely got a lot of the sweetness. You know, honey was a good example. You know, I'd also say kind of like a simple sugar kind of honey or sweetness. Like it was just like not overly strong, but just very like very pointed, very sharp. And you're right. Like, I can tell you a cigar's complexion. You're right. Like, I haven't smoked too many pipe tobaccos that were as complex. I would agree. Like, this is very, I wouldn't say it was necessarily complex, probably not the right word, but it was very multidimensional, meaning, like, it kept changing. It wasn't just one thing through the entire time. Like, you know, the front, it was definitely sweeter. And now I'm getting down to the bottom of the bowl, and it's definitely a lot nuttier. And I don't like that.
Big time. Yep.
Yeah, it doesn't. I didn't experience that with a lot of other pipe tobaccos. So, I've noticed when you add 7 different tobaccos into a cigar, it usually makes a very shitty cigar because it's just too fucking much. Mm-hmm. But this, with 7 different things in English blend, I mean, it's pretty good. I'm pissed off they don't sell it in bulk anymore, which is bullshit. But other than that, I'd probably give it. I mean, I'd probably give it 4.5 stars.
Same here. That's what I was thinking when I was smoking it. I was going between 4 or 4.5, but I'd probably would give it a 4.5 myself. It's really good. I mean, that's the complexity is amazing. You're right. When you get the bottom of the bowl, it's almost fully just a nutty flavor. You get that nutty burley out of it.
Yeah.
And but it's like when you try to describe this blend, it's like, okay, which part do you want me to describe? Because
yeah, it's true.
When I first smoked at the beginning, the middle, and the end, or whatever, like you do it in the thirds, like people do with cigar reviews, it's like they're totally different. Like each segment was so different from the other one. It's like, okay, do you want me to just take the middle of the bowl and describe it, you know? But it was outstanding. So yeah, I would do 4.5 out of stars for me too.
No doubt. And not to mention, it came out of the mason jar, just the right humidity level. I mean, and very little touch up, you know, very little maintenance. Just smoked really, really good.
And I just realized, and I'll go ahead and third the score there. First, I didn't know I was going to score it that high, but it grew on me quite quickly. And then I just realized that when I was cleaning up my bowl right now, I smoked to the ash to the bottom. And this is a deep bowl. And this bowl, probably the deepest one I got.
Yeah.
All the way, sometimes when I finish, I think I'm done. I'll scrape the bottom and I'll have a little plug of unburnt tobacco. But I scraped that up.
No.
I ashed it to the bottom. So that's all good sign there.
I can see if I smoke a lot of this, I can see this becoming a 5, which I'm probably going to be start doing.
I'm glad I actually made us smoke this for review. I'm very glad we decided to smoke that.
That you went against your own email that you sent us, say what we want to do?
No, I'm glad that I bought it for you guys so we could smoke it, is what I'm saying.
Cool.
Out of all, when they had, and that's because we had that, they had that pipes and cigars sale, and I was like, what sounds good? Oh, let's smoke this.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds outstanding.
Before I forget here, Shooter is wanting you to inform him of what pipe you're smoking out of.
Me?
Yes.
Which one?
You switched to a Dunhill, didn't you?
The Shitty Cobb?
Probably not the Shitty Cobb.
No,
probably
I'm smoking a Dunhill, let me just read it to you, a 577F, which is a fan tip or fan tail, Dunhill Shellbriar, made in England. It's got a size 2 bowl on it, made in 1969.
There you go.
Specific enough for you, Shooter?
Well, and Shooter's first, like I said, it was you were smoking out of a Dunhill, so I suppose he did a Google search, and you know, holy fuck, Dunhill pipes are expensive. It's like, yeah, new they are.
New they are.
Buy estate pipes.
Buy estate ones, man. Don't spend $500. You can get, for a brand new Dunhill, and we're not even talking like a fancy Dunhill. We're just talking like the middle-of-the-road Dunhills. $400 or $500. You can get 3 or 4 estates for that easy.
Yeah, but I'm gonna warn everybody on the Dunhills. Before you buy an estate Dunhill, please, for the love of God, do your damn research. Because there are so many fakes out there, knockoffs, and just hodgepodge Dunhills that have got, like, replaced stems, or they're just not in very good condition. You need to know what you're buying before you actually purchase one.
Yeah.
Do your research.
Yep. It's true. And expect to, I mean, this one that I got was in pretty good shape. The guy who sold it to me, I mean, he had buffed it up. The stem looked good. I mean, it was ready to smoke. I mean, it was, you know, it was ready to go. The two other ones I got, the one stem was severely oxidized, which I had to send it to our boy to get it fixed. The other one was good, but the stem was really loose, so I had to send it to our boy to get it fixed, Ben. But be ready to, when you get that pipe, it's not going to be perfect, and you're going to have to do some work on it or know someone who can do some work on it.
Yeah. I mean, if you're buying a $500 Dunhill for like $80, there's a reason it's $80.
There's a reason it's $80. Yeah.
So just be careful, but definitely that's the best way to buy a Dunhill. There's no doubt.
Agreed. All right. Well, with that, thanks for checking out Pipe Dummies. We'll be back here next Tuesday. Same time, same place, and we'll be smoking some early morning Pippa from Dunhill, shockingly, and we will have 5 tins to give away, so make sure you show up and attend for your chance to win one of those Dunhill's early morning Pippa tins. With that, Bull Shark, motherfucking Moon Beam, we'll be out of this bitch. Everybody have a great night. Talk to you guys later.
See you later.
Moon Beam, bitches.